train, hold it rolling.
Everyone jump up on the bass train.
Come on, peace train. Hey, yes, it's the peace train.
Hi, we are Jetpacks for Sale.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Mass.
She hits the ground, she's gonna want to explode. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com radio and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on the Sunday, February 19th, 2017 edition of our Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. Hopefully the phones are working today. Our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636 if you like numbers. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your area of the sporting world. Okay, be right back. Okay, it's 4:16 here on WMFO Netflix. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on another edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Let's go to the sports scores in women's college basketball. UConn 63, Tulane 60. That's UConn's 101st consecutive victory. And they had a close one down there in Tulane, but they pulled it out 63-60. Florida State 80, Clemson 47, Baylor 89, Oklahoma State 67. Here's an upset. Oklahoma, ranked number 19, defeated Texas, who's ranked number 8, 74-73. And Kansas State defeated TCU 68-65. In that UConn game, Collier got 26 points, 12 rebounds, no assists, one steal, and three blocks. Williams got 9 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. Samuelson got 17 points, 4 rebounds and 3 assists. Chong got 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Dangerfield got 5 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 steals. Irwin got didn't score any points, got 3 rebounds. And Butler didn't score any points, got 5 rebounds and 1 block. Morgan got 19 points for Tulane, and Vorpal, V-O-R-P-A-L, got 16 points also for Tulane. UConn winning the 101st straight game, 63-60. The UConn bench did nothing. And I saw some of the 100th win game over South Carolina. And Gabby Williams had an awesome game. Samuelson was sort of off on her game, but they got a lot of scoring from their bench and pulled that one out. Actually, it was, you know, it was close during the first half or so, but then the third period, UConn put, near the end of the second period, into the third period, UConn pulled away, and I don't remember the score, but I think they won by about 11 or 12 points for their 100th victory. So they got 101 now. And I don't know if it's going to get any easier. UConn plays 4 guards. A team like South Carolina, who had all that height, if they'd gotten any outside shooting, they surely should have been able to pour the ball inside, and they didn't, and they couldn't. And UConn's fast break was just too much for them. I would love to be able to coach a South Carolina team in that game. But anyway, that's another story. I don't know. Like I said, I don't follow college. I don't follow a lot of sports as closely as I should, since I'm on the air with a sports show, right? I should follow them a lot more closely. But there's only so many hours in the day, and somehow or other, the old body just doesn't function like it used to. But anyway, congratulations to the UConn women. Let's see how far they can go, how long they'll keep the streak going, how far they'll go in March Madness. Which is getting really close now. So we'll see what's going on as time goes on. 420 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Let's go to men's college basketball. A lot more games in the top 25 teams. Gonzaga 82, Pacific 61. And I have not seen Gonzaga play a whole game. Haven't seen them play much of a game, really. I've probably only seen highlights from some of the Gonzaga games. And I am thinking that with the soft schedule that they are playing, I don't know how far they're going to go. They'll probably be the first, the number one seed out in the West, I guess, I would imagine. If they didn't, that would make it even more difficult for them. But anyway, I'm not pinning too many hopes on Gonzaga running the table, going all the way, winning it all in March Madness. Villanova yesterday, 92, Seton Hall, 70. Haven't seen Villanova play much either, but they are the defending champions of the March Madness from last year, so we'll see how far they can go. Kansas, 67, Baylor, 65. That was a closey. I think Kansas ranked number 3, Baylor was ranked number 4. And they played at Baylor, so there you go. Arizona 76, Washington 68, UCLA 102, USC 70, Oregon 100, Colorado 73, Louisville 94, Virginia Tech 90. In a 2 overtime game, West Virginia defeated Texas Tech 83-74. North Carolina 65, Virginia 41, Duke 99, Wake Forest 94, Kentucky 82, Georgia 77, Florida 57, Mississippi State 52, Purdue 80, Michigan State 63. Here's an upset. Unranked Pitt defeated Florida State, who was ranked number 17, 80-66. They pounded them. Woo! Cincinnati 80, Tulsa, 60. SMU, 76. Houston, 66. Another upset, Vanderbilt, unranked, defeated South Carolina, ranked number 21, 71-62. St. Mary's, 70. BYU, 57. And Notre Dame, 81. North Carolina State, 72. 422 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'll be back.
I'm Robbie, and I'm on a waiting list for a double lung transplant.
A lung disease is threatening Robbie's life.
I've had cystic fibrosis all my life, but now my future depends on getting a transplant.
Right now, tens of thousands of people are waiting for an organ or tissue transplant.
It's hard to imagine a greater gift than the gift of life from an organ donor. It means I get to keep living.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to donatelife.net.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:30 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time on this Sunday, February 19th, 2017 edition. We are talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-WMFO. Okay, let's go to the National Hockey League. Yesterday, Sabres 3 and the Blues 2. Jets 3 and the Canadiens 1. That's the first game coached by Claude Julien for the Canadiens. That was a surprising thing. We'll talk about that after we get through all the scores. But the Jets defeated the Canadiens, I believe, and at Montreal. So I wonder how the Montreal fans are taking that. Jets 3, Canadiens 1. Red Wings 3 and the Capitals 2. That was a shootout. Senators 6 and the Maple Leafs 3. New Jersey 3 and the Islanders 2. Oilers 3 and the Blackhawks 1. Stars 4 and the Lightning 3. That was an overtime game. Wild 5 and the Predators 2. The Sharks 4 and the Coyotes 1. Canucks 2 and the Flames 1. That was an overtime game. And the Panthers 3 and the Kings 2. I was not surprised by the Bruins firing Claude Julien, but then I was extremely surprised that the Canadiens picked him up, and the Canadiens are ahead of the Bruins in the standings. So it's like, okay, your coach has your team ahead of our team, and our team fired our coach because they were behind your team, but your team hired our coach because they're ahead of your team. Our team? Why? Hey, I did not understand that one. But anyway, The Bruins did not play, so where are they? They have 64 points. Montreal lost. They have 70 points. And what did the Senators do? Senators have not traded their coach or fired their coach. Senators won, so they gained 2 points on Montreal. So they are at, they have 68 points. They're 2 points behind Montreal. Now, I wonder what's going to happen in Montreal if the Senators or even the Bruins, you know, pass the Canadiens. I think that's the first I can never remember of a team firing their coach when they were in first place in their division. It's probably happened before, but in some other sport, maybe. I can't remember happening in my lifetime, so who knows. Anyway, in staying with the National Hockey League, the Bruins have been doing well. They won their first two games under their new coach, Bruce Cassidy. I want to call him Butch. And we're going to see how far that goes. What has been happening from people who follow hockey a lot closer than I do is that he's been playing a more wide open game and allowing the defensemen to go up ice more so than it was done during the Julien regime. And so we'll see. That's where I guess it's worked. So we're going to have to see how that continues, if that continues in the days ahead, and whether it will be a successful continuation in the days ahead. But anyway, like I said, the Bruins are nestled in third place in the Eastern Division. And so we'll see. And I think they're in, if I can recall, they are in the last spot for a playoff. So it's going to be interesting, very interesting. I, you know, the games that I've seen the Bruins play, and I've seen primarily some of them in their playoff games the past 3 years, in my unlearned opinion, it looked like they were a whole lot slower than the other teams. So maybe by allowing the defensemen to, you know, to move the puck up ice and perhaps get more involved in the scoring will help for the speed deficiency. Maybe it's not really a speed deficiency. Maybe they're just playing, you know, with less men back there. Up there, rather, I guess I should say. Staying in hockey, Washington is out in front in the Metropolitan Division, followed by Pittsburgh and Columbus. So the Bruins are in for the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The Rangers, Toronto, and the Islanders are battling for position. In the Western Conference, Minnesota is leading over Chicago and St. Louis. In the Central Division, in the Pacific Division, it's San Jose, Anaheim, and Edmonton. And for the wild card, Nashville and Calgary. Okay, 4:37 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting, iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. If you're interested, the only thing I could find, this is the NBA All-Star break, and the only thing I could find of maybe interest that I could pass on is that Glenn Robinson III won the dunk contest. So there you go, whatever that's worth. If you're a dunk contest aficionado, you probably saw him win the dunk contest. I prefer it to go to bed. Since I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get here to the station, but that's another story. Okay, I don't know who won the three-point contest. I don't know anything else. That's all I could find, you know, this morning. So, therefore, blame my internet connection for your lack of information. Okay, 4:38. I'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere.
close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and the Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:42 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you have to give me a call at 1-855-915-WMFO. If you like numbers, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to baseball, the Boston Red Sox. With the addition of Chris Sale, the Boston Red Sox have a formidable front three. At least the front three seem to be healthy thus far. And with Porcello, the reigning Cy Young winner, and Price, a former Cy Young winner, and Sale, a potential Cy Young winner. Sports Weekly, USA Today, Sports Weekly, had the Red Sox as the number one pitching staff in the American League, followed by Cleveland, Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Detroit and Houston, top six. And we won't go into the others. But it's possible that the Red Sox could have three 20-game winners this year. That's 60 wins out of 90 starts. That gives you a good leap forward. Question is, what's going to happen in the other two positions where we have Drew Pomeranz, who is coming off some elbow issues. Hopefully he's coming off some elbow issues. Then there's Eduardo Rodriguez, who's coming off a knee issue, second time with that knee. And then there is our knuckleballing specialist, Stephen Wright, who made the All-Star team last year and then got hurt after that and did nothing after making the All-Star team. So it looks like a pretty dominant rotation. My guess is that since Wright and Rodriguez are probably more penciled in as starters, that Pomeranz, unless he has a fantastic spring, is going to go to the bullpen, giving us another arm out there. And the Red Sox bullpen is pretty sturdy with all of the new additions that they've picked up as well. And so it's going to be interesting to see how far we can go based on these early season projections. Of course, the big thing with the Red Sox is that we lost the bat and all of the other things that David Ortiz used to bring to the ballpark every day. And it doesn't look likely that they're going to be able to replace him with just one person. We picked up Mitch Moreland from the Texas Rangers, and he's going to give us solid defense against right-handed pitchers, primarily at first base. Hopefully we have Dustin Pedroia back for another healthy year. Last year was his healthiest year in quite some time. And Xander Bogaerts got off to a great start, really tailed off after the All-Star game and into the playoffs as well. Hopefully, he's going to be a 300 hitter with a little more power perhaps in the middle of our lineup. And then there's the Pablo Sandoval question. Is it going to be Pablo Sandoval at third base on a regular basis? Because of his new slim down physique? Or is it Brock Holt or somebody else that we may not have considered winning the third base job on a regular basis? Or there might be some platooning there as well, since Sandoval did not bat right-handed his last full season. Decided that he would be better off batting left-handed. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Out in the outfield, we're going to have Benintendi hopefully there for a full year and healthy. We got Young behind him. And then we have Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie had more power last year than I anticipated him having. Now, if he can get the batted average up a little bit and maintain the 270, 280 area with the same amount of power, that would be a tremendous lift, taking some of the pressure off after the, like I said, after the loss of David Ortiz. And in right field, Mookie Betts. Has he reached his ceiling? We found out that he was playing with a knee injury through the playoffs, and that might have curtailed his batting average in the playoffs somewhat. Plus, it was the first time for a whole lot of guys on the team, and the pressure and everything else might have just gotten to them for their sweep by Cleveland. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be a good year. How good? Only time will tell. And like I said, as the pitching is that good, it may be a lot easier on the batting. And I didn't go through all of the, but we've done pretty well as far as arming ourselves, as far as the bullpen is concerned. So the starting five looks really good. Like I said, we can project perhaps 320 game winners. And we'll see where we go after that. If we get the 320 game winners, that's 60 wins right there. If we can get 15 from right and maybe 12 or 13 from Eduardo Rodriguez, that's 88 wins right there. So we'll see where we go, how far that will take us. That should take us pretty far if we can do that out of our starting rotation. It's 4:48 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial, on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We are multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown, on this Sunday, February the 19th, 2017 edition of the Sounds of Praise Ministry, brought to you by the Christian Challenge. Sounds of Praise Ministry. I was talking about Sounds of Praise Ministry. Sounds of Praise Ministry coming up next. This is a Brown perspective on sports. What do you want for 4:49 in the morning? I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet. Hang in there. The program will get better as we go on, I hope. I'll be back.
You can imagine how happy we all were. My wife, our three kids, and I have found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block?
Yes, it is.
Mommy, can we go to the park anytime we want?
Anytime we want.
So, you can imagine trying to answer all their questions after the landlord turned us down.
What happened? Why can't we live there?
Why not, Papa?
What was I going to say? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building? We made a call to HUD and found out that being denied because we have kids is illegal. We got answers. We got help.
And we got the apartment.
If you think you've been discriminated against because of your familial status, race, color, religion, national origin, sex, or disability, call the HUD hotline, 1-800-669-9777, or go to hud.gov/fairhousing. File a complaint. Make something happen.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
And also brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:52 at the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown. We're talking sports here regularly every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. And they get involved in the conversation. We get about 7 minutes more. At the call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, I don't know about anybody else, but I still have not come down from my high over the Patriots Super Bowl championship win. And so, therefore, we're gonna conclude the program talking a little bit about the Patriots. How about that? I guess the big question, debate going on in the local sports realm here is keep Jimmy Garoppolo, trade Jimmy Garoppolo. How long can Tom Brady last as efficient as he has been? Obviously, off this last Super Bowl performance, he should have one more year. And we have Jacoby Brissett waiting in the wings as well, who did consider, you know, extremely well considering it was his first year and he came in and when Garoppolo was injured and then played another game with an injury himself on his throwing hand, So it looks like we should be pretty well set as far as keeping and if possible, getting blown away by a trade offer. Supposedly the Cleveland Browns, who have the first pick, have offered, and they have two picks in the first round of the draft, has offered their higher pick, and not the lower pick, which is the number one pick, for Garoppolo. I don't know. It would probably be I think that pick came from somebody else. I'm not really sure where that pick stands. But anyway, I would hold out for the number one pick if there is somebody coming out of college that you would say, hey, this is a guy who's going to make our team that much better this coming year. And that would be a slap in the face to old Roger Dodger, who took our pick for no reason and suspended Brady for 4 games for no reason. But anyway, that is a possibility. Supposedly Chicago Bears are interested. The San Francisco 49ers are interested. Houston is interested. I don't think we'll trade them to Houston since they are in our division, our conference rather. But, you know, out of the conference trade, we may never see him play again against us anyway. But anyway, he's obviously a talent. He's probably more talented than anybody graduating from college or coming out of college this year at the quarterback position. And if we can strengthen ourselves perhaps at linebacker or defensive end, I think we're pretty well set in the defensive backfield, especially if we can sign Logan Ryan. James White made our running back position a source of strength, and there are some other people who agree with me that it probably should have been a co-MVP, if not the outright MVP of the play of the Super Bowl. But anyway, he had a fantastic game, and add him to Lewis and Blount, I think we have another running back, Gaffney, on a taxi squad. So running back is not a position that we're interested in. Offensive line, you know, that could be something that we could shore up. But sometimes you can get a great offensive lineman in the second, third, maybe even the fourth round, depending upon, you know, who's out there. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots do. They have everybody coming to them, and that's always a good sign. So it'll be interesting to see. Patriots generally don't go for. Let me put that down a little bit. Patriots generally don't go for high draft picks. They usually trade down to collect multiple picks. They'll say, if I have a first round high draft pick that I'm not that wild about, you know, attaining, oh, let me trade down and get two, maybe three picks for that one pick. So it'll be interesting to see what we do, how far we can go. I understand Vegas already had the Patriots as as the number one pick to win the Super Bowl next year as well. And like I said, based upon health, I don't see why that's not a correct assumption. We'll have to wait and see what the other teams do, of course. Free agency. I'm certain that there are also, you know, some free agents out there who might want to come our way, take less money, and get a shot at a championship. And that always seems to work out pretty well for Belichick and the boys, so we'll see where we go from here. Okay, it's 4:57. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Hopefully you enjoyed the program. And I didn't check the phone to see if it's working or not, but maybe I'll get a chance to do that as we break between Sounds of Praise and A Brown Perspective on Sports and Sounds of Praise, which is coming up your way sometime around 5 o'clock. So until next Sunday, it's your host, Donnie Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day and week in the Lord. Hope to see you next Sunday around 4 o'clock here again as we do another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Stay tuned for Sounds of Praise. We have another edition of the top hits of the year 2016 here on Sounds of Praise in the Gospel Music Field. Thank you.